Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, and at the head, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that all the things that she had, these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our hymn.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. 3 days. It's been 3 days since 10 o'clock on Good Friday morning. 3 days. 72 hours, 4,320 minutes, 259,200 seconds. 3 days don't seem all that long, do they? If you do think about them in the terms of 72 hours, well, now they're starting to take some time. 4,320 minutes, now we're talking about a longer time. 259,200 seconds, that seems to last forever. Even though they are all exactly the same amount of time, it really depends on what you were doing during all of those seconds, minutes, and hours. Say, for example, you and your spouse have gotten away to a 3-day weekend at a nice resort. Well, that time simply disappears in the blink of an eye. But if you are home, you're sick in bed with, say, the flu, each of those minutes feels like an hour, and each hour an entire day. Ever wonder what those 3 days were like for Jesus' followers, particularly the women? How do you think those 3 days passed for them? Did those days vanish quickly for them, or did they drag on forever? I'm guessing that each one of those 259,200 seconds took forever to click off the clock. With that in mind, I'm sure they had plenty of hours to plan their next moves. Now, we don't really know any of this, what they did during those 4,320 minutes, but we can make an educated guess by what they did on Easter morning. Time spent planning to continue preparing the body of Jesus for burial, I'm sure, took some of their time, for there was not enough time to do it on Friday. So Sunday morning, it would have to be done. As the men and the women met during those 72 hours, fear was most certainly part of their conversation. Fear of the Romans, fear of the Jews, fear of their new future, and probably a combination of all three. Now, there is one thing, or things, I should say, that I'm sure none of them thought of at all. And that was angels. So when Easter morning comes, we see the women looking for Jesus. There is lots of fear, and there are angels. Now, when you read all four gospel accounts, like we're going to do this morning, these are the only three consistent parts on each gospel. Surprisingly, Jesus is only in two of the gospel accounts, John and Matthew. So as we celebrate this Easter resurrection of Jesus, we're going to be focusing on these three aspects of the resurrection accounts. And in no particular order, we're going to start with fear. Fear often comes from a lack of faith. Let's take the resurrection, for instance. If the women arrive and Jesus is not there, then that would mean that he did rise just as he said. Well, then, that means that everything else he said in his life was true. And that sounds really great at the moment until you realize what else Jesus said. That means, yes, I truly am a sinner, and I'm cut off from God. As we read in the Old Testament, we are sinful from the moment of our conception. We are separated from God by our very nature and can do nothing to change that. Isaiah tells us that all of our works are simply filthy rags because of our sin. To arrive and see that the resurrection is true lets everyone know that over the years that they have been in the presence of a holy God, and a worthless sinner in the presence of God simply does not mix. The sinner loses every time. Now, the women may have actually been afraid that they would find Jesus. To see the body after 3 days, if Jesus is still there, right there where Joseph of Arimathea put him, well, then everything else he said in his life would be a lie. About being the Messiah, about being the Son of God, even what he said to the thief executed next to him. If Jesus is there, his life meant nothing. And then we are to be pitied most of all. But the women arrive, and Jesus is not there. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. But that's not what they say, is it? They are looking for Jesus. All four Gospels tell us that. They all say they are going to prepare the dead body of Jesus. So does that mean that the women did not believe Jesus? I don't think so. I think it's more that the women who arrive at the tomb are like the man whose son was possessed. After begging Jesus to heal the boy, the father says, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." The unbelief side of the equation is what grips these ladies. It often gets the best of us. We have all prayed to our merciful Lord to heal a friend or a loved one only to see them steadily grow worse. We have all begged God to return a family member who has been lost in the grasp of this anti-Christian society only to see them double down on their rejection of the church. We have all simply looked out those doors of our church at our nation and said, Lord, I know you control all things, but I don't see it. I do believe, Lord, help my unbelief. They all made confession of Jesus during his earthly ministry, yet none of them are rejoicing at finding the empty tomb. Even Mary, faithful Mary, thinks that someone has stolen the body of Jesus. So you see, fear can be quite debilitating when it comes to faith. Next on our list are the angels. Angels do not play a very major role at all in Jesus's earthly ministry. We do, however, hear that they came to minister to him after he had been in the wilderness for 40 days and had been tempted by Satan. And again, just before our three-day clock began ticking, as they come to him in the garden, ministering to him just before his arrest. The angels arrive in our resurrection accounts with one job, and one job only, to speak to the women who come to the tomb. Which brings us then to our third part that we're going to cover this morning. The women, and specifically searching for Jesus. Now I know we've already kind of covered some of the women, but even though we are looking at three things at this point in the Gospels, they've all become so intertwined, it's hard to separate them. The women are searching for Jesus, but they could not find Jesus. Boy, does that ever relate to us and our society today. Even many so-called Christian churches deal with searching for Jesus and not finding him. Why did the women not find Jesus? Because they were looking in the wrong place. And it happens all the time. I'll be the first one to admit to all of you, I love standing on a beach watching a beautiful sunset, or being in the mountains looking down over a valley with the trees, the birds, and the elk bugling back and forth as it echoes across, or fishing in the creeks and the still water lakes that I grew up with. And as moving as these can be, or causing a spiritual experience, as some say, it's not the place to look for Jesus. It's not the place to look to have him speak his absolution over you. But unfortunately, we see it all too often in today's society. The angels, as they greet the women, essentially say, "Do you want to see Jesus? You are looking in the wrong place." And that is our biggest issue. You see, it's ourselves. It's our own nature. A search for Jesus is futile. Remember, Jesus is risen, so that everything he said and about our sinful nature is true. So then a search on our own only draws us farther away from him. So then how do we do it? We don't. But God in his great mercy allows himself to be found, and he does it by his Holy Spirit. Remember, Isaiah tells us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." The Lord is near to us when we hear his word, and that word carries the Holy Spirit with us and begins to create faith. Through faith, we see Jesus. We see who he is, what he has done, and where he is to be found. You want to know where Jesus is? He's right where he said he would be. That's what the angels tell the women. Mark, Matthew, and Luke, he's not here. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. In John's gospel, Mary simply looks in the tomb again and cannot find him. But what a wonderful message the angels give to us this morning, for it reminds us on this Easter morning, if you want to see Jesus, go to where he promised to be. Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb and is no longer there. However, there are three places he promised to always be. The first is in your baptism. When you walked or were carried to those waters by your parents, Jesus is with you. At that baptism, the old Adam is drowned. As St. Paul says, we died with Jesus in those waters, so we will also rise with Jesus in those waters. And we will be resurrected like him, a new life, having our sins forgiven, and the Holy Spirit leading us to an ever closer faith in our Lord. The next place Jesus has promised to always be is in his word. Every single word of Holy Scripture is his, and so he is with them also. And he is also in the words that he speaks over you as he forgives your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And finally, Jesus has promised to be and is truly present in his Holy Supper. When you come to the communion rail, we meet our Lord face to face. We hold him in his hands. We taste his blood on our tongues. And by faith in his actions on our behalf, we rise from this rail forgiven of our sins, forgiven of all of them, including the sin of unbelief at times, and searching for Jesus not only on our own, but also in the wrong places. Because there is forgiveness here in this Eucharist, in the body and blood of Jesus, there is also forgiveness, life, and salvation. The very gifts of God won for us on the cross on Good Friday and granted, guaranteed to us by his resurrection this morning. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, never to be in the tomb again. 3 days, 72 hours, 4,320 minutes, 259,200 seconds. Not a very long time at all. Nothing, actually, in the grand scheme of things. But because of those 3 days, ending with an empty tomb on Easter morning, 3 days has turned into an eternity for us with our loving Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen.